The truth will set you free, but first it'll piss you off.
She's a dark-skinned woman like yourself, dark-skinned, yelling, and being rude.
The most disrespected person in America is the black woman.
Because I thought I was allowed to answer questions.
Reclaiming my time, would you please explain the rules and do not take that away from my time?
You know what our number one complaint with black women is? Your mother. It all boils down to your mother.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first ever podcast episode for Loud Black Girls. Now, I know that a lot of you are probably raising the eyebrow and wondering what exactly is Loud Black Girls and why we came together. So I'm going to go ahead and let my co-hosts briefly introduce themselves real quick. Starting off with me. It's your girl, Kai Michelle, straight out of Lancaster, California, and I like to refer to myself as something like a plus-size fashionista.
Hey, y'all, it's Ariel Monique. I am from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I am a makeup enthusiast.
Hey, I'm Rachel. I live and currently work in New York City.
It's your girl, April, straight out of South Memphis, Tennessee, all day, every day, and I'm currently in grad school in New York.
All right, y'all. So something about us is that we love to talk, discuss issues and scenarios about pop culture and whatever is relevant to us. And what we're really here to do is break down this negative connotation that people have of a loud black girl. I mean, we are loud, we are black, and we are girls, but at the same time, we're educated, we're opinionated, and we're articulate. So that's why we're here. And every time we bring you all an episode of Loud Black Girls, we're throwing a new theme towards you. So, like today, our theme is HBCU Made. And the four personalities that came together and made up this podcast are all HBCU grads. Yes, y'all. We all came from an HBCU, and we've experienced an HBCU, and this HBCU is what made us, because only the strong survive, right?
So, definitely.
I guess to quickly give, like, not even real quick, a little something about me and why I love my HBCU. It just gave me like the best experience, and if I could sum it up in one word, it would be network. My HBCU taught me how to network and how to connect, and basically how to use my time wisely. From the moment I stepped foot on the campus, I considered now looking back as my undergrad, I considered myself like a super student. Like, I was involved everything from debate team to student government to student activities. I was Miss National UNCF. I was able to represent 37 different HBCUs. I pledged the Black Greek sorority. I was an RA. I just did everything that my HBCU afforded to me. And it helped mold me into the woman that I am today. And I'm forever grateful for it. And it also it worked me to use my brain muscles in what exactly I wanted to do in life, or, you know, just place things in different ways. So here I am today, introducing Loud Black Girls and why and how this idea came to. So I just know one day I was texting my sorority sister, and we have been just thinking about different ways to get involved in the media and really getting our voices out there. And she just hit me with this, hey, I want a podcast, you know? So in the back of my head, I was like, you know what, girl? Like, I've been wanting to do a podcast for a long time, but I just really didn't know how I was going to put it together. So after not even 3 seconds, I automatically knew how I wanted to be a part of this podcast. Of course, myself. And three other wonderful ladies came to mind. One was my line sister, Ariel Massey. We're both members of Sigma Gamma Rho Sorority Incorporated. My best friend, Rachel, and she is a national great debater. And one of my good friends from college, April, and she's a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. And we are the three individuals that make up this bomb podcast, y'all. So, Rachel, you know, we're here as HBCU grads, and I want to know a little bit of history about HBCUs. You know, do you mind taking it over from here?
Definitely. So yes, it's really important when we're talking about HBCUs to really figure out what they are, why they are, why they came to be, because so often from people that didn't go to HBCU, they're always asking me questions like, well, isn't that segregation? Like, isn't that bad? Isn't that racist? And it's crazy because I just want to tell them all the history, but people don't know too much about it often. So the SparkNotes version, if you will, is essentially that historically Black colleges and universities are universities that were created before the Civil Rights Movement by the Freedmen Aid Society. So essentially, it's this group of people who just were super hyper aware of the disparities for Blacks at the time, of course. And so they created these colleges for Black students to go get an education, and get an education at a time when everyone else thought that Black people weren't even capable of this kind of mind expansion thinking at all. So a lot of Black students were offered the opportunity and became things like doctors, lawyers, and it was really the impetus of Black education at the time. And so now we continue to go to these schools, and most people at the HBCUs know like when their school was invented, all that stuff. And it's really great and it's a really beautiful history. But, you know, with the culture and with what an HBCU is, you often get kind of the disparities that go with it. It's not the same as any other school. And so that other side is to be talked about as well, which leads me to this question that I want to ask, you know, my co-host, but also want to extend to anyone listening. You know, respond to any questions we ask in the comments or DM us, whatever, but we love to hear your opinion on all the things we talk about. So my question is, in regard to everything I just said, do you all think that HBCUs present a challenge for postgraduate success in comparison to going to a predominantly white school?
That's a deep question.
Yeah, you really got me over here thought provoked. Well, I would say yes, in a way. I feel like we didn't get prepped exactly the way we should have. Instead, we kind of got like a one set mindset drilled into our head and kind of became like just the culture of like always thinking that when people asked us what we were doing post-graduation, we just hit them with the, oh, I'm going to grad school, you know, without really thinking about it. Because after so long, all we could think about is grad school because all we know is school, you know, coming from pre-K to elementary up to junior high to high school to college. And it's kind of like, oh, I'm about to graduate and life is about to start, but I don't really have anything else to do and I don't really know anything but school. So what I've been prepped for has been school, you know, to be on time for class, to get to class and get the grades, because the more classes I take, the smarter I'm going to become, the more fit I'm going to be for the workplace, you know? And, you know, that's what they prepped us for. And I guess I just kind of want to say that sometimes as a young grad preparing to graduate, it's okay to not know exactly what you're going to do. And don't let people pressure you into thinking that you have to do something now. Your mind is supposed to be made up right now, because you're going to dip yourself into a world of stress and a world of feeling like not equal or feeling less than other people out there in the world that seems like they have their self together. So I guess that's my answer in a sense.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I personally equate postgraduate success with like internships and work experience and the things that employers and, you know, people out there that in these institutional in these like PWI spaces or whatever that they have. I can only speak of the postgraduate success from a HBCU because, you know, that's where I went. And like I said, like, I didn't necessarily feel prepared. Now, that could be just an individual thing. However, like, I know that in my program at my undergrad, we didn't have, like, a lot of stability. We didn't have a lot of people telling us, like, oh, do this internship. Like, this will get you here. And, like, I feel like a lot of connections that are made in these like big corporations, my HBCU didn't have. So we have to kind of like strive and hustle just a little bit harder than those people at those PWIs that have connections to these big companies or whatever. And like I said, that just kind of builds character within us. But I also feel like we as HBCUs need to, like, provide our graduates, our graduates with these opportunities. Like, we need that help. We need that transitional help. I don't know what could help us. I don't know if it's like money or like maybe, you know, just like that network that Kyle was talking about building. Like, what we need something a little bit more than what we have, because mm-hmm. even though we are successful after graduation, it's because of the strive and the hustle that we have within. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily from my HBCU. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's what I meant with it.
I definitely agree with everything you just said. Like, you just spoke into my soul, like, for real, for real. Because I definitely feel the same way. After graduation, I came to Clark Atlanta for graduate school or whatever. I did a complete full year, and then I realized, like, this is not what I want to do. And when I got to the program, I really didn't feel prepared. I kind of went to graduate school because it was the thing to do, because mm-hmm. you don't got no work experience. No one in your field is going to hire you. You probably, 9 times out of 10, you're going to have to take a job that you don't want to get by. And yeah, it's just so many things that I feel like they should provide for the students that's still there to keep the students, because after a while, I don't know, like, you got to provide them with something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I met a girl a few weeks ago, and she was like a junior in school down here at Georgia State. And like, she was coming back from an internship from so far away from Georgia State. Like, amazing opportunities. And that's things that we need to be successful as HBCU graduates, period.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I definitely agree. It's hard to measure too, because we're kind of recent college graduates, but also you never know what part of your success can be attributed to the school you went to, what you did, all that different stuff. I will say, though, I think that one thing that often gets overlooked when it comes to questions like these is that, you know, the advantage of going to an HBCU is that when you do apply to positions, oftentimes people have never heard of your school before. So it happened to me recently. I was applying for a job and they were like, wow, where is such and such? You know, I've never heard of this. And it gave me the complete control to be like, here are all the great things about the school I went to. It's illustrious in this way, and it's nationally recognized in this way. And it really got them excited about something that, you know, that wouldn't happen if I told them I went to, you know, the University of Kentucky or yeah. all these other schools, you know. Yeah. So that's one thing that I think going to an HBCU is actually an advantage. But I definitely hear all y'all's points, and that's pretty on point. Like, I definitely feel you, and I'm excited to hear what everybody else is going to respond and say as well.
Definitely. If HBCUs taught us one thing, it was how to sell our HBCU. Doesn't matter what yeah, HBCU definitely. You went to, mm-hmm. you were going to be like, blah, 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 the school of the blah, blah, blah. You know us, you know? So that's definitely what they taught us.
So I guess it's time now for my segment of hashtag free game. So in this segment, I'll just talk about what my HBCU taught me about relationships. And in the spirit, we're just going to give our college listeners some free game. So I'll just go through them and then y'all chime in as needed. Well, I'll go back through them and give y'all a rundown of what I mean. So first and foremost, twin beds are made for two people. Don't answer that you up text if you have a morning class. You can get cheated on with somebody who lives in your bathroom.
What?
And last but not least, situationships are a thing. Don't get caught in one.
Jesus.
Mm. Okay, so starting at the top. Recently, I saw somebody in college tweet that twin beds are not for two people. And I'm like, in what world, though? Because we've all been in college, laid up in a twin bed with somebody's son or daughter. So, like, I didn't understand her logic behind that, but I definitely want to let y'all know, if you in that twin bed, that's where you're supposed to be, okay? Like, we make it work.
I definitely agree that two bodies can fit in that twin size bed, y'all. Like,
yeah. I even heard a three fitting in there.
Whoa, that's a look.
But you're not gonna be completely comfortable.
You gotta lay on your side, girl. Like you gotta.
Yeah, but you gonna be on your side. You gonna be half asleep with one eye open because you ain't completely comfortable. But then when they leave, you gonna be perfect.
Girl, as soon as they leave.
That's the trick. The trick is to leave early so you can go to sleep for real in your
Yes. Oh my God. I gotta go.
I got a little brief something to throw in there real quick. So like y'all remember that man they used to get them loudspeakers, like speak up them prayers in the morning.
Oh like, my gosh.
Yes,
that is brought back so many memories instantly.
You be laying up in that twin size bed with another person in. Boop, good morning.
What is all
praise Jesus. We got check full at 11 o'clock. I be like, bro, go. You gotta
nah, go. I hate what you did.
I wrote letters to the dean of students and everything that are like, we are not taking prayer out of the dorms. I'm like, but why does he have to pray so loud so early in the morning though?
Y'all,
like, that's so loud. That made me move out of that dorm. Like my senior, I did not stay there. I was like, I'm
can y'all imagine being in your dorm, listeners, like being in your dorm knocked out cold, and all of a sudden you hear this old ruffle preacher voice talking about good morning and why students like
no, doing the Lord's work.
It's like you don't have to be up at that time. Like that's not okay.
It's let not right. Sleep. That wasn't no. fair at all.
We college students, let us sleep.
In a sense, it was forcing stuff onto people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, see, that's why you shouldn't be answering you up texts at 1 o'clock in the morning when you Whoa. Know you gotta be up in the morning, right? Like, no matter if the preacher waking you up for prayer or if you got a class, if a guy is texting you at 1, 2 in the morning, he only want one thing, baby. Ain't nothing. A burger around that time, so don't save yourself. Do not answer that text.
They don't always have to mean that.
What else does it mean? Things,
right, I'm waiting for an answer.
Maybe something happened as an emergency. They need your assistance with something.
911.
But you know what? Be funny about dudes though. They'll
911.
If it's an emergency.
These dudes out here, they will miss the 11:59 Jix call for their homework, but send a 1 a.m. you up text.
Like, how? They not there for school.
Baby, them slick ones send them 11:32. Hey, what you doing? You up? They disguise them. You up text, baby.
Yeah. Right. You want to smoke? Like, all that. Avoid all that.
You want to smoke. That's how they get you.
I'm telling you. Save yourself. Okay. So the third one. You can get cheated on with somebody who lives in your bathroom. So this one is for my people who live in the suite style dorms, right? I lived in a suite style dorm. If you open your door to the bathroom, somebody else has a door that goes to the bathroom as well. So I just call them the people that live in my bathroom.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Regular people might call them suite mates, but they just the people who live in my bathroom. However, I heard before, you know, ear to the streets, I heard that somebody got played because they thought that guy was like going to the bathroom, but he was really going
that's
in
bold.
The bathroom to be with the people that live in there.
Do you know?
So, like,
that's a lot.
Just keep your eyes open and watch out for those people. Okay,
that's a bad situation because it's not gonna end up okay with me. Like you asking for trouble?
Nah, you asking for that one though. Like that's like a bold dude. A dude who will text you up at 2 o'clock in the morning will definitely go in your bathroom.
Yep.
And
yeah.
Yeah. No. He ain't no good. He don't care about you. He
not
one
at
thing.
School.
Let him go. Y'all we've never been in a relationship. Like, it's over.
Exactly. Okay, so you mentioned relationships. So the last one is situationships are a thing. And my advice is don't get caught in one, but I want to hear everybody's advice because I'm kind of scarred from situationships. Now, currently, I'm single, right? Ariel's single.
Not ready to mingle.
I am single and loving it.
it's complicated with Cobb, but that's my take.
She's single. She's single.
Okay, like she's single. Bill. And Rachel is the only person in a healthy relationship out of the podcast. So first of all, let's give it up for Rachel.
Nice.
You know what? Y'all are in a good relationship with yourself. You healthy with yourself.
I know that's right.
I promise. We all good. We all set. You know, we're all set because we all been through something. That's what it is.
And but we have zero tolerance. We not on none of that stuff anymore. Like, you got to come with it.
I'm going to, you know, hit April's situationship point because this is a topic that the four of us really like because we just love talking about relationships, all this good stuff. But one thing that I want to get out there is that, you know, situationships can be, if you're communicating right, can be a great thing, especially in college, because you're at your probably brokest point. Like, who wants to commit in college anyway? Like, you're so confused. You're so everything. Like, you don't get in a relationship in college. Like, maybe I'm just, I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm going to tell you this, like, just wait. Like, there's so much more life after college where you can do whatever you want and you'll be making money and living a beautiful life. But like, situationships can work. And as women, we need to like reclaim them. You know, we need to stop acting like we're a victim to them. Like, nah, reclaim, have eight dudes in your phone all buying you Whataburger. Have one dude buying you the Whataburger, one dude buying you the Popeyes, and one giving you the math homework answers. Eight. You know, like, reclaim
you one editing your paper.
Exactly.
We all got to have an English major on our
but
side.
But no, you say having eight people in your phone, texting eight people. So are you saying that, like, you have to be Nola darling? Multiple people like Nola?
No, or... you don't have to Nola darling nobody. You out here you're just enjoying men. You're enjoying being young and free. Like, okay, you have to be able to do
so
that.
What about the situationships where it's just you and the other person, like y'all not talking to anyone else, it's just y'all and y'all got that communication?
Those the tricky ones.
That's goofy. That's goofy.
Wait. See, look, I feel like
I want a relationship at that time.
I mean, I feel like if you are not calling it a relationship, but you're in a relationship, you're just being dumb. Like,
you
at this point,
so?
Like, yes, like, so for instance, I feel like what does not saying the words we're in a relationship or like removing the labels boyfriend, girlfriend really genuinely do if you're with somebody every day, you're talking to them all day. If you talk to somebody else, they're going to flip out. If you find out that they're talking to somebody else, you're going to cry. Like, that's stupid to just be in this thing. You get what I'm saying? Like, what? I don't understand the benefit of that.
But maybe,
and I can say that I was one of those people. See, like, that's fine. But, like, if you're in it, though, if you're doing it, like, and that's what I'm saying. Like, most people are in a relationship. They're just calling it, oh, we talk. Like,
but why would you close yourself off to other people when you're not in a relationship?
Exactly, because I feel like regardless if you're talking to eight people, you're gonna like one of those. You're gonna like one person more than you like the rest.
And then only thing you're gonna do after that is just cut the rest of them off and be stupid for one person.
Yeah,
and that's probably always the wrong person too that you shouldn't have cut off.
Yeah,
y'all gotta be.
Most definitely, it's gonna be the wrong person.
The one,
like, well, you're 19 years old. Or the ones that are genuinely showing interest, they're like hitting
the
you
one that's
in the morning. They're like, "Do you want to go to lunch?" And like, "Nah, but you texting to do this.
You texting to back. Text.
Just like you want to smoke,
right in your bathroom,
right?
Yeah,
got kicked out of the college dorms and stuff. But no, like, I feel like situationships are just super, super messy. And that's why I say don't get caught in one. Because honestly, at 19, 20, 21, can you really say you can control a situation? Like, that's why people just be like, no disrespect to nobody, but like, babies come out of situations. Like, just like crazy things, like
fighting,
kicked out of school.
Bro.
Like, it's just all types of crazy.
Getting into it with people.
Pop-ups.
Like, all of this, like, these crazy things come out of situations.
You gotta have good communication with those things, you know?
Yeah, but, right. You know, I kind of get like what April was saying, though. Like, yeah, like, Nola had it, but just like April was saying, 19-year-old, 20-year-old me was going for stuff that, you know, 24-year-old me now was going for. So, like,
you know, back then I'd be like, you know, okay with the okie doke, like, oh, we just talking, girl. And in my head, I'm like, oh yeah, we just talking, but I'm gonna be his girlfriend. You know,
he's telling your friends, like, he said,
right, that's my oh girl, look, my boo text me, girl, my man. You know, your friend sitting with you in the calf and on the yard, and he walking by, but girl, your man, I see him talking to so and so. In your head, you created the situation. You know, that's 19, 20 year old Kai. Now I'm 24 year old Kai. And I'm just like, look,
zero tolerance.
You'd rather be single than dealing with
people. I don't want a relationship. Yeah. This is not what I want. If you want to go on some dates, we can do so. If you want to go out and do drinks, we can do so. But that's it. You know, you mature into things. So, you know, freshman college Kai was like, oh my God, that's my man. Y'all look at him. Let me go to the probate with the balloons. And then across the way, you see the same girl with the balloons with the numbers.
Same numbers. Y'all both yelling for the same number, talking about.
Let's go.
All right, Ace, I see you out there.
Three girl.
Oh, man, with a big old number one balloon. Like, that's my bae. I got that from a Twitter story as well. Like, this girl was like, she went to the probate because she'd been talking to this boy, a situationship, thinking that was her man. And she looked across the gym, and this other girl got some number balloons, the same number. So she looks on Twitter and find out that this boy in a whole relationship with a whole nother girl. And their relationship is public. So, like, man, you've been talking to dude the whole time he's been pledging, and you put yourself in the mindset of a situationship because all your friends looking like, ain't that your man? You didn't let your friends into it. So now your friends don't like this dude. And then y'all go through all 4 years, 5 years, 6 years of college of not liking one person.
Beefed up
because you don't like this girl because she used to be in a situationship with the person you in a situationship when. All you got to do is just be calm and cordial. Keep your business to yourself. Stay out of situationship. Let them know what you want out of it. Girls, dudes, if you want a relationship out of it, let these people know. If you don't want a relationship, lay that down. We all grown, you know, we out the house. So it's really no filter or nothing. If you want just sex, let that be known. If you don't want any sex, let that be known. If you just want somebody to make out with, Look, boy, I'm just looking for somebody to kiss on. I don't want to do nothing. If he okay with that, then he okay with that. But it's up to him if he gonna put himself in that mindset. Like, oh yeah, we gonna kiss for a little bit, but yeah, I'm gonna get into it one day. Like, nah, bro. Respect what each other is saying. Just like a dude would be like, look, girl, I don't want no relationship. That's on her if she put in her mindset that y'all gonna be together one day.
Take
control over it. And I think that's kind of where people kind of get that mix up when it comes to Nola Darling. Like, oh no, she a hoe out here. No, yeah, she was hoeing. I mean, some people see it like that, but at the same time, she was in full control of her situations. She wanted to have sex with these men, but she controlled when it happened, where it happened, where, with who, and how. And when she was ready to cut their behinds off, she cut their behinds off.
That's exactly what SZA was saying. That's exactly what SZA was saying in the weekend. Why everybody's trying to say it's all this. Like, she just letting you know we all in this situation with this one dude that's doing whatever he want to do. So I'm going to take control and be like, you know what? He okay too.
Delegate.
He don't want to be with now one of us.
Right. You take Wednesday, Thursday. I just keep him satisfied through the weekend. That's it, girl. Take this behind. You can have
not asking for too much.
I want him when he like fully energized and ready to go and do golf carts and skydiving and stuff on the weekend.
Girl, cut it out.
Y'all know I'm scared of heights. I ain't skying off of nothing.
Speaking of gossip, I will be having a segment called Time for Coco with Ari Monique that will consist of all the celebrity gossip and trending topics, everything that you don't want to miss out on. And speaking of HBCUs, I have 7 things that pretty much every HBCU have in common. Ooh. Starting off with fried chicken. Every HBCU have like a day where they fried chicken. Ours was every Tuesday. The line used to be wrapped around down the block like long
gang
for some chicken. Like, it was good though, I ain't gonna lie.
It was good.
That's the only day I went.
Do y'all remember that one person who every time it was fried chicken Tuesday we used to get on him because he would get the spaghetti?
Y'all used to do me wrong.
We used to get on people's heads.
Y'all used to do me wrong when I got my
spaghetti. Spaghetti is a side. Like, that's in the black community, who eats
spaghetti? I had an argument about that before about spaghetti.
Bro, but like when you trying to when you trying not to eat fried food for like a week or two, like you gonna go with the spaghetti option. Like,
nah. That's y'all healthy people.
It's still a lot like you gonna get spaghetti with bread.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm gonna go back and get like three more pieces of bread. Anyway.
And like you gonna get like spaghetti and like a salad, you gonna get the bread.
Mm-hmm. If I get spaghetti, I'm eating it with my chicken.
Yeah, that's how we go. Spaghetti and some bread.
It's two different meals, bro.
But anyways, moving on, number two is halftime shows. Halftime shows are always big, whether it's a basketball game or football game. And this is when, like, the band and the dance team get their opportunity to get, like, lit, get the stands popping for the new music, all that stuff.
Shout out to PD.
Right.
Right. Turn up.
Homecoming is number three. Everyone loves homecoming. It's like the biggest family reunion ever. It's your time to see all your old classmates, have a good time, see your favorite professors, the ones you didn't like as well. Mm-hmm. And also, homecoming is where a lot of hookups happen. Like, okay. A lot. Whether it's with your ex-man, your ex-girl, or somebody new.
Woo, woo, woo.
Don't regret it the next day, okay?
Just don't do it, okay?
But some
don't
people, they get in that mood and want to, you know.
Girl, we grown.
No, that's called tequila. Don't do it.
That's the mood that you're in.
You're in a tequila mood. Don't do it.
So you never done it?
Bro,
I speak from experience. Don't do it.
People prep themselves up before. When people come back for homecoming, they're coming back to see people, but they also coming back to hook up with that person they either never got to hook up with,
yeah.
They either want to hook back up with, or they miss their ex. And people be like, "Hey, you going to homecoming this year?" Yeah, boy.
Really?
Yeah, boy, I'm going to homecoming this
y'all
year.
I'm so oblivious to my actions.
I'm oblivious to my own actions.
Y'all start sending texts.
Because
I did too.
Right.
I mean, like, I'm like, but I'm coming back to stunt. That's how I feel. Like, if you did me wrong, I'm like, okay, well, let me get my 26
that
inches,
too.
You know, in. Like, let me make sure, like, I've been wearing my waist trainer all year. Like,
I'm stunt on you. That too. I mean, we all come back to stunt, but, you know, there is a mass majority of people that come back for the hookups. Like, and you cannot lie. Like, I really came to that conclusion this year. I was like, y'all, HBCU homecomings, they not slick. They people be coming back from all the way on one side of the map, from this side of the map. Everybody know they coming back for homecoming because they finna get that hookup that they never got, or they finna revisit something.
Got a whole plane ticket.
Or they can just be like me and just want to come back to kick it with they sisters and friends.
Definitely.
Right. That's why I come back.
And I come back, I really come back to stunt because I'm from black. Up, hair for to be on fleek, nails fleek.
Fleek, outfit fleek. Girl, I be picking out 3-4 outfits before I get there.
Nah, yeah, y'all be coming with it. I just come to stunt on the niggas that wronged me in the past.
Have y'all been to the last two homecomings?
Yes.
Oh,
Rachel, you gotta come back.
Yeah, and like, I'll come for year 20.
That's what I said. That's the next time I'm going back.
Year 20?
Yeah. 20 years after I graduated.
I'm definitely probably going to be back next year.
No, yeah. Let's take a trip. Like, I ain't got nothing to say
to nobody. Like,
I don't think I'm going to take no trips. I love my HBCU, and I'm going to be one of those. Yeah, I'm going to be one of those alum that returns for homecoming and founders.
Me too.
Every year?
Yeah.
Probably.
Every year I can make it. I mean, it's going to be years where I'm like, my job is going to come first. I may have something else to do. But more than likely, I'm going to be that alum that's going to be at homecoming. I'm going to be at the meetings. I'm going to be trying to see where I can invest my money. I'm going to be at founders. Same. That's the type of alum I'm going to be. And that's the type of alum I am as a young alum.
Oh, did she get feisty? Because I ain't going back to homecoming. Every
baby, because you better come back. You my LS.
I went twice. I want to experience other. Well, I'm not saying I'm not.
You can. You have literally all other days of the year to do this.
Are you serious? And I travel all the time. Do y'all not see that?
No, we know you travel all the time. So what I'm saying is, what is traveling to homecoming?
Because I went 2 times in a row and I always be mad.
That's because we always late to events. We always late.
Y'all. Yeah.
No, it be y'all. Okay, we not gonna go there. That's an SD roll conversation. It be y'all, but anyway.
I'm always on time because the late girls are always late. Anyways, number four, financial aid office, the place you hate to go. If you attended an HBCU, you know why. And if you didn't, here's why. 9 times out of 10, you're still waiting for your refund check, and it's now October.
You're still waiting for it, and you graduated.
What happened to getting a partial, maybe, like, so you can get your books? We do got to get books. But okay.
After they stopped giving us free books, I really never bought a book.
I bought one book, and it's sitting right here on my nightstand still. Media and Ethics. That was for that one lady. Y'all know who I'm talking about.
When I came for grad school, I was like, I ain't never got a refund check this fast.
But the one good thing they about HBCUs, though. ASAP. Oh, well. I will say, though, the one thing about HBCU is that once they stopped, like, letting us have books for free, a lot of teachers stopped forcing us to buy books, you know, and that was cool. Because, like, I came to
the whole book for you.
Exactly. And then, like, these PWIs, man, those be, like, 200, 300 a class. Like, it's ridiculous.
And they don't care.
We over here barely eating top ramen, but they want us to buy 300 books.
That they wrote.
Number 5, visitation hours. They treat freshmen like they are in jail with curfews and having visitation hours. Like,
I'm locked up. They won't.
And they complain about freshmen being immature, but they don't even give them a chance to be young adults.
They don't need the chance to. They'll get there.
Bro, do you know how uncomfortable it is to have the resident center manager call your mom on, like, the weekend, like Friday night?
To go to a party.
Kai is wants to know if we can sign her out past curfew. And here come your mama. Where are you going? I can't go to Whataburger. Can I tell my story? I can't go to Whataburger.
First of all, they did give you the option to, like, opt out of that, but, you know, a lot of people don't.
I was gonna say I never had to do that.
Well, my mom signed me in. We lived in the I'm locked up.
Something else.
See, now
it can't have met building code. Like, I'm just gonna say that right now.
But anyways, number 6, the yard, the hangout spot where a lot of events happen, and it's also a go-to spot where, like, the Greeks are strolling. People out there with their mans and
look, if you
smoking look, and look, doing whatever they do on their free time.
Mm-hmm. The yard was wild.
We used to be up there just talking.
Shout out to the 2012 yard, though. Shout out to the fall 2012 yard.
Man, we used to post up out there. We used to be on the yard.
Why was it so hot? I was not used to that weather when I got there.
She's hot.
Mosquitoes used to tear my California legs up.
And I wonder why nobody came out until nighttime. I'm like, oh my God, it's so hot.
Man, that used to be the times.
Number 7 is probate season. For those who are not familiar with the term probate, it's when the Greek organizations have a new member presentation and reveal themselves to the school and spit their history and everything else of that nature and step and stroll. And it's always an exciting time for members in the Greek community.
Chapoodle. Yep.
Okay.
Skiwi Nation.
Chapoodle.
Whatever. Yep. Nah, shout out to probate season, though. Like, I'm here for all. Like, we had the luxury of going to an HBCU that had all 9 Greek letter fraternities and sororities on campus.
Everything from Alpha Tau Iota.
Yeah, and it was amazing. So, like, shout out to probate season. I'm here for it every time.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful to come in as freshmen. And then when you slowly start seeing, like, your friends become Greek and to come to their probates with balloons and their colors and support them, then watch them support you and do, like, unified events on campus and respect each other
throw
and
them
stroll lit
parties together.
You throw parties together.
Shout out to
throw tasteful shade. And I feel like sometimes Greeks, that's a whole nother conversation, they get away from it. But, like, and even as we started to
have fun with it,
you know, grow up in our Greek organizations, as we became closer to graduating and watching, like, our Neos and other Neos come in and seeing people that we've seen as freshmen grow and come
shout
into
out to
our
my
organization.
Neos, shout out to KG, I love y'all.
Oh, look at you.
Not for real, like, it's a special thing to, like, bring somebody into an organization you love so much, especially our chapters, because, like, our chapters are so rich with, like, history and all of this, and, like, to bring somebody else into that community is just, like, the best feeling in the world. Like,
yeah, beautiful. I definitely can agree. I had a great time doing that.
Yeah, and that's one thing about our HBCU, we have so much rich history, like what April just said, like, each one of our
chapters, fraternity or sorority, has been there for like plus what, plus 50 years, plus 60 years, except for like one. But like each chapter, we have like four
mother area too.
We have like four mother chapters. We have the beta chapter of Phi Beta Sigma. We have two theta chapters. That's Omega and AKA. What else?
No.
Oh my bad. No. That's Omega and Zeta. Phi chapter AKA. Yes, my bad, y'all. Yes, beta, man, Gamma, SG Rose. Girl, boo. My bad. Speaking a little
quick. Shout out to
AC. Yeah, the alphas, the deltas, alpha, iota. Like, it's the history is really thick. It's beautiful to see all that. And like she said, to bring people into an organization that you love and watch the campus love on them and watch them grow as well was great.
Yep, I totally agree.
And that's all for Time with Coco. Make sure y'all stay posted to the Instagram because I will be doing segments on Instagram. Be sure to comment and share your opinions as well.
Thanks for tuning in for the first episode of Loud Black Girls. And to all of our listeners, if you have any stories or scenarios that you would like us to address on a future episode, go ahead and do not hesitate to email us at loudblkgirls@gmail.com. Or hit us in our DMs, and all this stuff will be featured on the next segment of Free Game.
Yes, we also love to promote people. So if you have a business, if you sell art, you do hair, nails, whatever it is, just let us know, and we'd love to give you a shout out on our show for all of our followers.
And our first promo is Queen's Fit. Fit only for a queen, an online fashion boutique that's based out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. To be featured on Queen's Fit Instagram, be sure to hashtag Fit Only for a Queen. Also, the Instagram is QUEENSFIT underscore, and the website is www.shopqueensfit.com.
And most importantly, don't forget, a loud black girl is always comfortable in her own skin, and especially her blackness.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank y'all for listening.
Thank you. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.